Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. We thank you for all the provision, for the prayers, for this radio station, and most of all for you, the listener. Those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. We thank you. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. And this is another message from the book of Acts. We've been preaching from the book of Acts for the last several weeks, and there's so much here, the template, the blueprint for the New Testament church. And so it's very important that you get to know the book of Acts, understand the messages that God has for you here, and seeing the template for the New Testament church. So turn in your Bible today to Acts chapter 9. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We'll get into the message here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. We're looking to build a school out there in Makunda Village, and we need one more piece of property, another acre of land. We have one nice acre right beside the children's home, and we need another acre, so we'll have a football field to go alongside the school. So if you're interested in supporting a project like that, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can talk about it. We're going to need that piece of land, about $7,000 for a piece of land, and then $100,000 to build the school, and it'll be a primary school for about 200 to 300 children from Makunda Village. Good Christian school based on Christian principles. We're going to be teaching a little bit of the gospel message in that school, as well as a good academic foundation. And so this is going to be a wonderful project and will bless the people of Makunda. And in addition to that, this Sunday today, we have our 6th anniversary celebration at Living Water Church. And so you can pray about that. Pray that many people will come in. We're going to feed everybody that comes and do a special program, preaching, worship, all that. So today is going to be a special day at Living Water Church of Makunda. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we touched on the Jews receiving the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And so then we have now here a situation where God is setting up the Gentiles to receive the Holy Spirit. And this is important to us because we are Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And so we have received now, 2,000 years later, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on all mankind. It's God's will that every single person, come to know the Lord Jesus, come to a place of repentance, and come to know the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior. God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness or as some count slackness, but God is faithful, and it is his desire that every single person, no matter what tribe, no matter what creed, no matter what tongue or what place, ethnic stripe or strain, all of that is included in the kingdom of God. And God doesn't just choose some people to be saved. Yes, he knows, because he's all-knowing and he's not bound by time. He knows who's going to be saved and who will reject him. But he does not choose or predetermine that some will be saved and others condemned to hell. It's the gospel message is for every single person, no matter where they are on the face of the earth. And so that is God's plan. And so as we see here in Acts chapter 9, the plan for the Gentiles unfolds. And I'm going to speak today two stories from chapter 9 and chapter 10 in the book of Acts. And if you read these two stories, you see God's magnificent plan to take the gospel message to the Gentiles, and the people that he uses is just amazing. It's just another example of what an awesome God we serve and how he orchestrates the affairs of men to come to know the gospel, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he still is doing that today, this very day. God may be orchestrating events in your life so that you will come to know him. He may be orchestrating events in other people's lives so they will play a part in your life to come to know the Lord Jesus. And so it's God's will that you come to know the Lord. If you're tuning in today and you're not a born-again believer, primarily the purpose of these messages is to evangelize and to preach and teach the gospel message so that you will be saved. That's the number one purpose of these messages. And then the second is to give you knowledge and understanding of God's whole counsel in the Bible. Every scripture in the Old Testament and New points to Jesus, and so it's important for you to have understanding and knowledge of his word, the Holy Bible, as you go about your daily life. Well, in Acts chapter 9, there's a man named Saul who's been a persecutor of the church, and Saul was raised up in Jerusalem. He was a member of the religious elite there in Jerusalem, very educated, highly educated man. And so we'll start in verse 1 here in chapter 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that is, any who were now Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And so this was Saul's mission. He thought he was doing a great thing for the Lord. He was binding Christians, dragging them out of their homes, and helping put them in jail, persecuting them, tormenting them. And so this Saul thought he was working for the Lord. He thought he was doing the right thing in getting these Christians, these new believers in Jesus Christ, getting them out of the way, out of society. And so he is rabid, you might say, or zealous in his work to remove Christians. And so in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, that is in Syria, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then Saul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads," or "Why are you kicking against the goads?" Well, this is an amazing story when you think about it. Saul's on his way thinking he's doing a mighty great thing for the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, a big light comes to him from heaven, and he falls down to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul knew right at that instant, this was no ordinary encounter. He knew at that instant that some person, some supernatural person, some magnificent person was talking to him. And so he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Well, that's a very strange thing for Saul to say, is because he knew already that this was the Lord that was talking to him. And this Lord was the same person that he was trying to drive out of people's lives. He was trying to drive people out of the way, the Christian way. And so Saul has an encounter that has shaken him to his core, that has shaken him like an earthquake. And so he's down on his knees, and Jesus said to him, "Stop kicking against the goads." Well, the teaching here for us is very important, because some of you, God is telling you today, stop kicking it against the goads. You think you are doing something great for the Lord, or maybe you're just going through your through your life and you're ignoring God. Maybe you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. You're just trying to be a good person, hopefully. Now, some of you are way off in the wilderness area. You're in total rebellion to God. And God is saying to you today, Jesus is saying to you today, why are you kicking against the goads? And for those of you who don't know what a goad is, that's that stick. We see them here in Africa every single day. That's that stick that the goat herders use or the cattle herders use to prod the goats or prod the cows. Any day, any time here in Mumias, where I live in Kenya, you see people walking down the streets, yes, the main streets of town, poking goats or poking sheep or poking cattle with these long sticks. They're about 4 or 5 feet long, and they use them to slap the back of the cows or slap the back of the sheep or the goats, or they poke them in the rear and get them to move in the direction they want them to go. And so God is saying to Saul and to you maybe today to do, why are you kicking against the goats? God wants you to go in the direction that you end up with him, that you end up with an intimate walk with him in the direction that he has called you to go, in the direction that he has laid out for you. He spoke your destiny, that is your purpose and your direction. He spoke that over you even before the day you were born. If you go to Psalm 139, verse 16, it said, God knew you even before you were knit in the womb, even before you were made, even before he knit any parts of you together. He spoke over you, your destiny, your purpose, your calling. And so it is God's will that you fulfill that calling. And you could say that every event, every circumstance, every situation in life, even the people that he brings into your life, they will poke you, they will help push you, they will help mold you and shape you and make you. And God orchestrates all of that just as he's orchestrating this event in Saul's life. God orchestrates all of that to push you in the direction that he wants you to go, to push you in the direction where you recognize and fulfill the destiny that he has for you. And so some of you are kicking against the goads, just like Saul was here. And some of you have been resisting God. You've been resisting the call, maybe to go to a church. Somebody's maybe invited you to church. You're kicking against that. Somebody's maybe asking you to go to a Bible study. You're kicking against that. And God is saying to you today, stop kicking against the goads. Go in the direction of the Lord and you will have peace. You'll find your destiny and you will find your calling. So in verse 6, then Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And so Saul arose, and the Lord sent him to a street called Straight. In verse 11, it says, the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. Now he's speaking to Ananias, another man in that city. Arise and go into the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And so Saul is blind at this point. God has appointed another man that he is appointed to go and minister and pray for Saul, and they're sent to a street called Straight. Well, the irony of that is that this man Saul, who is bent and going in the wrong direction, God's brought him to the street Straight, and he's going to straighten him out. And God wants to do that with you too. He wants to take you to the street Straight, and he wants to straighten you out. If you're in rebellion to the Lord, if you don't want to submit to the Lord, you're going to end up eventually on that street Straight, and you will be in that valley of decision there, and you're going to have to make a decision whether you want to submit to the Lord or whether you want to stay in rebellion and keep kicking against the goats. Well, Ananias goes and starts to minister to Saul. Ananias didn't want to go because he'd heard about this guy Saul, what a tormentor of Christians he was. But in verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to hear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And so Ananias went to Saul. God is having a three-day teaching session with Saul, and Saul is blind, but God is showing him and speaking to him through visions or through just speaking into his ear audibly. He's telling him how much he must suffer for the Lord's sake. And so Saul is going to have to pay a price for his rebellion and for his persecution of Christians. But as we know, Saul went on. He was obedient here. He received the Lord Jesus. He was obedient. And it says, Ananias, verse 17, went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell off his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And so that is the appointed missionary to the Gentiles. We know that Paul, now called Apostle Paul, has been called and appointed to minister to the Gentiles, and he made three missionary trips up into Greece, Macedonia, Turkey, all in through Southern Europe there. And so this man, who was a former persecutor and blasphemer, became the appointed messenger and the appointed vessel to take the gospel to the Gentile nations. Well, as he made that decision, the scales fell off his eyes. Beloved, if you are struggling to serve the Lord, if you're struggling to answer the call that God has on your life, submit to him today. The scales will fall off your eyes. You're going to see what God has for you in this life, and you're going to see, and you will receive your sight, and then you can start moving forward, just as Saul did, into the purposes of God for your life. Well, we know that Saul went on, now the Apostle Paul, he went on to write about 14 books of the Bible. And so God used him in a magnificent way, all of his education, all of his training, his religious training, all of that, and his zeal, his passion, his determination, his fire. God used all of that to bless us even to this day. When we read all of the books that Saul wrote, that Apostle Paul wrote, we read those and we are blessed because he is an appointed and a chosen vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second story I want to look at today is in Acts 10, the very next chapter. This is about a man named Cornelius. He's a centurion of the Roman cohort, or the Roman regiment, the Italian regiment. And in verse 2 at chapter 10, it says, "He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and he gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And verse 4, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So the Lord, the angel of the Lord, has appeared to him, just as the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul in the previous story. And so the angel said to Cornelius, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter.'" And so this is the Peter who preached the gospel message on the day of Pentecost, the same Peter, the fisherman, who Jesus called to be an apostle and walk beside him. And so Peter is over in Joppa on the coast, and he's staying there. And now we have two people brought into this scenario. One, the Roman centurion. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile, works for the Italian regiment. And so now we have Peter brought into it, and he's praying in his house. And if we jump over to verse 11, we find out what's going on with Peter. And it says, "And Peter saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to Peter and said, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'No, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.' And a voice spoke to him again the second time, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.'" And then this sheet came down with all these different animals and beasts and creatures in it. It came down three times, and then the object was taken up into heaven again. Well, verse 17, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood at the gate." So at the very same time, right as Peter was finished up watching this trance, or in this trance, watching this vision, that the very same time the people sent from Cornelius were at Peter's gate, and they have a message for Peter: come and speak to Cornelius at his house. Well, that trance, that vision that Peter saw, where the Lord says, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common," really wasn't about animals and eating. Peter thought it was about eating, although there was some message there also, because the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, were very strict in what they ate. They had to eat according to the Levitical law. Back in Leviticus chapter 11, they had certain things they could eat, certain things they weren't supposed to touch. But God was trying to show Peter, he said, "What I have blessed, what I have cleansed, it is not to be called common." He was preparing Peter to go and preach to the Gentiles, because the Gentiles were considered unclean. The Jews had no dealings with them. They didn't even want to walk through the land of Samaria and walk through the Gentile land. And so God was preparing Peter in his heart to show him that God had cleansed the Gentiles, that he wanted the Gentiles in the kingdom of God, and it was going to be Peter's responsibility and Peter's privilege to take the gospel message to the Gentiles. Well, over in verse 34, Peter is now at Cornelius' house, and he opens his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began with Galilee after the baptism which John preached." Well, Peter is preaching basically the very same message that he preached on the day of Pentecost. He's saying God wants you to come into the kingdom of God. He wants to reach out to you and let you know that he loves you, that he cares for you. He has a plan for your life, a destiny, and a purpose for your life. Peter is preaching all this to the Gentiles here in Cornelius' house and telling about how God raised up Jesus in the resurrection. God raised him up, and to show him to all the world that he was truly the Son of God. Well, over in verse 43, we're going to wrap up here with just a few more verses of Peter's message. In verse 43, it says, "To Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, that is, those who came with Peter of the Jewish cohort, those who were of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so the very same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost, the people started to speak with tongues as they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This very same thing happened now with the Gentiles here in Cornelius' household. They knew that they had received the Holy Spirit because they started to speak with tongues, just as had happened with the Jews back on the day of Pentecost a few weeks before. And so they heard them speak with tongues, magnifying God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they asked him to stay there a few more days. And so the Gentiles received, they received in the very same way that the Jews had on the day of Pentecost. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. The evidence of the fire, the evidence of the baptism was that they had spoken in tongues. That's how Peter and them knew that they had received the Holy Spirit. Then they took them to be water baptized, and the Gentiles received in a most magnificent way, in a way that only God could orchestrate, bring all of these people together, bring all of these people into a place where the purposes of God was manifest, and they received the message that Peter had preached, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you can see God is a mighty God, a magnificent God, an amazing God, how he orchestrates the events and circumstances of life. Maybe God is speaking to you today, and he wants to baptize you in water. He wants to baptize you with fire and receive the Holy Spirit. That is God's plan for your life. If you will stop kicking against the goads, if you will be open to receive just as Cornelius and his family did, you can receive that today. It can be yours today, the free gift of eternal life. Well, I hope you enjoy these messages. Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We need your support to continue to bring these good messages to you. Pray about your part. We have many needs here in Africa. We also have needs to keep this radio broadcast on the air. Sit down today, write us out a check. We'd love to hear from you. Include prayer requests if you have them, and we would be happy to correspond with you. And we thank you for your support. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.